Greetings from Long Time No See, the podcast. Every week, we'll be inviting two blindfolded comedians to answer a series of questions about their careers, lives, and opinions. Now, let's remove those blindfolds and start the show.
Hi!
What would your opening line with your celebrity crush be?
Loved you in Harry Potter.
Worst date you've been on?
A man bit my neck mole off once.
You did what?
A man bit my neck mole off.
Oh my God, Jack almost fell off his chair.
Be sure to follow and subscribe to the podcast.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Consequence Podcast Network.
The farm in Manchester can be a daunting place, especially if you've never been there before. For those that go dragging and screaming, for those that go with eyes wide open, this week we take you from the exit to the entrance. Every step of the way, everything you'll need to know for Bonnaroo 2021. The What Podcast, Barry Corder, Brad Steiner, Lord Taco, taking you through the festivals, the industry, and all things in between. It starts, how about right now? Barry Corder, Lord Taco, Brad Steiner along with you. Welcome to the What Podcast, which bands this year that matter. If you are new to the show, welcome. If you've been around for years, welcome back. I'm Brad. Guys, nice to see you again. I hope that you have gone back and realized now that you've listened to some previous episodes, one of which is How to Make a Hit Part 2 with my esteemed boss and colleague, Troy Hansen. How hard my job truly is.
That was my takeaway for sure.
Was it?
Yeah. Boy, I don't know how you do it. Don't you just
feel? You've got it rough.
Travel.
I feel like it's a big deal. You know, creating art, Barry, is very difficult, and you are a high level artiste like myself. It is heavy as the head that wears the crown. Heavy as the head that wears the crown.
Anybody can do it. It's you.
I am so proud of the last couple of episodes, Mike Daly in particular, and then Troy Hansen thereafter. I know it was a departure on what we normally talk about, and I know it's a little sort of out of left field, but it's that kind of stuff that, first, I don't know if now I'm not some podcasting expert who knows every podcast in the history of mankind, but I don't know if that kind of stuff gets talked about very often. I really hope that you got to spend some time in the last two episodes.
It's amazing to me how intertwined. That's been my takeaway. Everything that we've done, add those two to, and we say this all the time, the Ashley Capps, the Jeff Cuellars, the Ken Weinsteins, and the bands, it all, obviously, and it has to, it all dovetails, and they're not as far separated. I guess that's what I'm trying to say.
Sure.
One mixes with the other, or it all doesn't work. And
I like that. I like the way you put that. The chemistry is strong, but what I would say is the other thing is we all know each other. You know, it's not something that is too foreign to any of us because we're all sort of swimming in the same pool, right?
Yeah, exactly.
But I will say, when somebody who I don't know in the industry just happens to be on a Zoom call and says, "Hey, wait, you're Brad from the I listen to that podcast every week,"
And I've never met you, and I don't know, I've never told you about the show, but yet you're in this management group who, that's pretty exciting. That kind of stuff still makes me feel pretty good. And so today, I know that we've been doing a departure over the last couple of weeks, but we're going to come back to center today, to where our roots are, and that's with Bonnaroo, and go through some of the things that if you are maybe a first-time Bonnaroo goer, maybe it's your second time and the first year is a little shaky. Mine sure was. this is going to be your first-time checklist. We're going to go through every step of the farm and all the things that you can expect, all the landmines. We know where the bodies are buried. Barry, you've got a couple of Bonnaroos, maybe one Bonnaroo, two Bonnaroos over me. But I think this will be 15 or 16 for me. So we know every step of the farm and hopefully can take you through each possible twist and turn that you may find come Labor Day weekend.
Agreed. And I was trying to remember, Russ, will this be three or four for you?
This will be technically three, but I sort of counted as four since we had the mini Bonnaroo last year. To me, that was Bonnaroo. Yeah.
Fair enough. So we come at it from a perspective of me, I think 17, Brad, you said what, 15, 16?
15 or 16, I don't know. I'd have to actually do the count. I know my first year was 2004.
Point being, you and I have done it a bunch. It's still fairly new for Russ. So, you know, we come at it from all those different perspectives. Plus, Russ brings a bus. Russ in the bus.
He does bring a bus.
That's the way to do it.
We do it different ways.
I don't know if you knew this, but 2004, here's a Bonnaroo did you know. In 2004, did you know that Maroon 5 was on the lineup?
No.
Yeah. This was when they had that first album, right after they changed the name, that first album that actually was really good, but they canceled. And you know why they canceled at the last minute?
Because I'm not even going to guess.
Adam Levine had a sore throat.
I thought you were going to say it was too hot.
He had a sore throat. Well, no, 2004 was the year that was the torrential downpour, where the reason why I said I was never coming back to Bonnaroo is because we got stuck the second night after the torrential downpour in camp and trying to make our way out of this miserable experience that we had had. Our car got stuck probably 20 yards from the exit. Yeah. And we got stuck there overnight, and we woke to the sounds of some sort of, I don't know, local kid pulling cars out of mud that was 3 feet deep. It was, you gave the kid $20, but you got your car out, and it was the most glorious feeling I've ever had in my life, because that first time I ever went to Bonnaroo, I didn't have any of the resources like this. So I had no idea what I was walking into.
Yeah.
Absolutely no idea.
I've said every year, I'll take the heat over rain every time.
It is a really good place to start, actually, Barry, because if you don't know, the Tennessee heat in June, kind of rough, but there's nothing worse than rain. Literally nothing worse, because it affects everything around you. The heat you can bear through, right? You just put your head down, try and drink a lot of water, but when the rain comes, that's when things really get itchy. Your campsite gets destroyed. You that really rush job that you did to set up, that comes to bite you in the ass. Yeah. Everything turns to mud, which also means things around porta potties all become mud. You don't know what you're stepping in half of the time. You're losing shoes. It is a disgusting, disgusting pit. Now, I will say they've done a great job because they've overgrown the grass for so long.
Yeah, that's why I make a joke every year that I write about grass and, you know, the stories that I write for the paper, and not that kind of grass. Which kind of, I mean.
Yeah, but Russ, we've seen him work. We know how that story goes.
It's hard to understand what 80,000 people walking through the same puddle does. A small little trickle becomes a river of mud after 80,000 people walking through it. So they fixed a lot of that, but that back in those early days, and I told you the story, it was either first or second year, I was in a little pup tent because I didn't know camping. I was by myself, and I was laying there looking at the top of my tent, watching it thunder and lightning, think, I may not make it through this night. I really may not make it.
So there's three areas we want to focus on today for the first timer checklist. And, you know, if you are not a first timer, you want to throw in an idea at the @what_podcast. Also, the place where we've been giving away some Bonnaroo tickets. We'll get into that here in a little bit. But first, if you want to throw something in, the what underscore podcast, Barry,
on
what
Twitter.
Was the on Twitter? Yeah, sorry. What is the biggest mistake you made your first year or two?
Not planning shade, not bringing some sort of pop-up tent, you know, something for shade, a tarp, and trying to do it all at once. We'll talk about that some more. Not understanding how big the place was, and not also understanding there are things there like food and water that you can get. You don't have to bring everything. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, those are the big ones that I've learned.
Taka, what was your first mistake you made first year? The biggest mistake?
First year, biggest mistake. Well, you know, I've not gone that long, but I came from a camping background. I've already, you know, do a lot of camping trips. Mm-hmm. So probably my mistake was over preparing because I was going in as if I'm going out in the wilderness. And the biggest mistake I made was I packed a lot of food that I thought I'm going to cook food, you know?
Yeah.
No. Didn't cook a bit of it. I got spoiled by the food vendors. We were in pod two that year. Mm-hmm. There was like a professional chef cooking just amazing food all weekend long. And, you know, when you're looking at digging out the grill and getting out the propane and like setting up the cook and then the dishes, like I can just walk over here and get like a gourmet burger, like pretty cheap.
Yeah. And the other thing too about the food that it goes unspoken sometimes is, yeah, you have great food that's around you, but honestly, you don't really want to eat all that much.
Right.
You know,
no,
you don't really
no.
want to. The funniest thing in the world to me is how people will line up for hot Thai food. There is a Thai restaurant. And yeah. who was saying to themselves, man, it's 102 degrees. I could go for some pad Thai.
Right.
I could use some.
Or, I mean, as much as everybody loves spicy pie, spicy, I mean, is a lot of cheese. Is that something you really want to put in your body?
Yeah.
Given the bathroom situations.
Yeah, that's part of it. You, Brad, you're exactly right. You don't want to eat as much as you think because of the bathroom situations. And you don't really, it's so hot. You just don't want to. That's not a priority. Water's more of a priority.
Sure.
I have noticed, I'm looking at the website and I know Brad, I'm sure you're going to bring it up because well, let's ask you your first year mistake. And then I'll go back to what Taco said.
Getting drunk the first night.
Okay. I thought you were going to say bringing your grill and all that.
Well, that was a mistake, but that's something I can just chalk up to. I just didn't know what I was doing.
Yeah, let's go
getting
back to
drunk
it.
The first night. That is a problem because that is going to bury you for the entire next day. And it's going to affect your entire disposition.
Let's not talk about Thursday 2019 for me.
Yeah. We have a guy that went hard, and this is a vet, a deep, deep vet. This guy's been there since day one. In fact, he might live there still. He's with us, and he got just ripped apart one night. What, 2 years ago, 3 years ago? He stayed in his truck for 2 days.
Yeah.
2 days.
Yeah, it was
I mean,
bad.
If you cannot go hard like you think you I understand raging, and I understand, you know, but you got to keep yourself level. You got to keep yourself medium. And if you go way too hard on the wrong thing, ours was margaritas. We were back in sort of like the radio compound, and they were doing a party the first night, and margaritas after margarita after we must have had 20. And
oh my gosh,
boy, what a disaster of an idea! What an
absolute bad idea.
Yeah,
that's a bad idea because people ask me that all the time. You must go up there and just party. And I said, no.
The last thing that I want to do is be hammered.
When the sun hits your tent, you're up.
Yeah.
I mean, we've had great weather the last couple of years, but those early years, it was every bit as hot at 3:30 in the morning as it was at 3:30 in the afternoon.
Yeah. I know guys that don't have hangovers and they just, you know, they can live and survive, but even the slightest hangover will be multiplied by a million in that heat. Around about 6:30.
Right. And as you said, September in Tennessee is not a whole lot cooler.
No.
I think it is, and it is correct. Not. It may not be as humid.
I keep seeing people saying, oh, September, it's going to be so much cooler. Like, no. Don't be fooled.
Don't be fooled.
Do not underestimate it.
You know, I know it's sort of an odd conversation. It's not about global warming or anything, but in June, it's relatively cool in Tennessee. Compared to September, it's like the summer has shifted a month, Barry. Everything has gone backwards there down the calendar. And September now is as hot as August used to be.
Yeah, it's weird. We get like I said, June seems to be muggier, more humid, but the September sun and heat is every bit as brutal. So
yeah, now we will get an extra hour of sundown because it's going to be past the time change.
Well, I didn't think about that.
So the sun will set an hour earlier than normal.
Really?
Yeah.
Man, I didn't think about that. That's actually brilliant.
Yeah.
Because there is a major difference on that farm between 3 o'clock and 7 o'clock.
Oh yes.
It is. And it's like,
and once that sun goes down, I mean, it does get cool. So, you know, bring a blanket.
It can.
Yeah. That's what I love the most about it. I know this is crazy. I know this is a nutty thing to say. I love wearing pants on the farm, you know.
It is a new experience. I didn't even take them for years.
You didn't wear pants, Barry?
Not long pants. Oh, didn't even bother. Sweatshirt, something like that. Didn't even bother.
All right. Well, let's do this. We got three areas that we want to hone in on. Let's go with the first one, traveling to Bonnaroo, the What Podcast Festival First Timer Checklist. So if you're traveling to Bonnaroo, if it's a long drive, let's say you're driving like the Hams guys do from Iowa, what is your first tip, Barry, to somebody that is going to have a multiple day drive to get there?
The What Podcast.
Okay, good.
Wow. Should keep you entertained.
Road trip playlist.
Entirety of your trip. They've changed things with the early arrival. Obviously plan, you know, however your how long your drive is, plan for that, take your time, plan to get there when you can, and you're going to get in line typically. That's I'm a little curious as to how all that's going to happen. So, you know, not just plan for your actual drive time, but plan for waiting in line.
And to that point, my first suggestion to you is don't rush.
Right.
Don't try to rush. Don't get impatient because the festival doesn't start the second that your camp is set up. The festival doesn't start the moment that you walk into Cineroo. The festival starts the moment you get into your car and put it in drive.
Yeah, that's a good.
Because that's where the Bonnaroo mindset means the most. If it's the closest thing to like yogic thought and meditation that you can find. If you've got that place to just turn it into your safe space,
right?
Start it there and don't start it when you get to Manchester.
That's a great tip. You know, I've told you, I don't like to travel. Manchester's about as far as I like to drive. And
it's 45 minutes.
I know. And I still whine and complain like it's horrible.
we barely got you to Bonnaroo in Winchester. I
complained.
Yeah. That's a trip to the grocery store and back, Barry.
For some people. Yeah. No, I'm spoiled. Look, my commute to work is 5.5 minutes if I hit every red light. I'm spoiled. I understand this. So, but to your point, and you're right on, like I remember David Bruce, you know, driving down for the Bonnaroo and even to Bonnaroo from New Jersey. What did he say? 13 hours?
12, 13 hours. And for a lot of people, that's nothing. I mean, they'll hop in the car and
they
just
like
drive.
And they like it. And you're exactly right, Brad. So, you know, seriously, plan on podcast, music, playlist, get your head right.
Yeah.
Just know it's going to take a while. And then know when you get to Manchester, it could still take a while.
And then when you actually get on site, go through, Taco, you're the one that's done this and not us. Go through the search process. If anybody is worried about getting searched, you know, because they're going to have to check your car for, you know, knives and glass and things that you shouldn't be bringing. But go through that process if anybody's stressed out about it.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's really what they're looking for. They're looking for glass containers, and looking for something that looks like a weapon. I've got, you know, a hatchet and camping knives and hammers. I took all that out because I didn't want anybody to be like, you can't bring that in. Of course, it turned out they just kind of, you're good.
And you know, if there is a interesting place, you know, where you've got, you know, all of this stuff packed into your car, they're not going to make you unpack your car. Now, I have met somebody, a friend of mine that was asked to unpack their car
entirely.
I don't maybe
was that by staff or by a police officer?
It was by staff. That then became a police officer because I think that they were marked as a random to do a drug search on. There is a possibility of that. It's not completely out of the realm of possibility, but it's something to be aware of.
So rule number one, and we probably should have said this at the start, don't be a dumbass.
Yeah, don't be that guy. Just don't be the guy.
Don't be the guy. Don't make them do what they don't want to do, which is take you to jail.
Because, by the way, the people that are checking you are also festival goers.
Correct.
These guys that are volunteering, they're going to the shows too.
In large part, they're volunteers. They're not police. You know, they're not. And it depends on the time of day and the week. Early on, they might be more gung-ho than later with some of the searches and some of the rules and things like that. But don't be a dumbass. If you're bringing stuff in that you shouldn't, don't leave it on the dashboard. Don't leave it in the console.
Do it while you drive up. Yeah. You know, having a PBR in your hand when you drive up is probably not the best idea.
Yeah. What?
Yeah, I know. Oh. But the other thing, too, is, and I've read this before, I know that they put this in the rules, and it is maybe one of the stupidest things that I've read in print. You can only bring two cases of beer?
It's not there anymore. I went on that list today. And I was
that was one of the dumbest things. Nobody's counting beers.
No, they're not counting
beers.
Just
don't bring glass.
How are you going to open up a cooler, tell somebody to dump out all the ice, and like count those beers?
Count
everyone.
You're over by four.
Well, let me drink them real quick.
Don't bring it in glass. I watched a carload of people pouring out all their bottled water so that they could pour their liquor in their from the glass into their empty bottle.
Yeah, I mean, look, Hillary, the reason why our camp is called Camp Nut Butter is because Hillary one time made a whole batch of nut butter and put it in a glass container, didn't think about it. We took it to Bonnaroo, and they're like, you got to throw that out. And she's like, I spent hours making this nut butter. And so she pitched a fit. They don't care about your nut butter.
They don't care.
So we had to transfer the nut butter into a different thing, and then they had to keep the glass. So it is ridiculous, but it also, you know, if let's just say, for instance, there is, say, like a beer exchange, and you have a very highly specialized beer that you'd love to bring to share with insert person here that you meet at the beer exchange with the Camp Redaroo guys. How about just putting that very special beer at the bottom of the cooler? If you were to do that, I would never suggest that you do that. Don't break the rules. But, you know, there are ways around this.
Well, I mean, and the glass thing is a good rule. Because there's so many bits, people walking around. You don't need to be stepping on glass.
That's right.
So that's what it's about.
The other thing, too, I saw somebody wrote right one time. They said, and this will get into the camp. You know what? I'll save it. Because it is something that I wish that there are bad ideas. There are very bad ideas. And there are very bad things to bring to camp that don't make any sense, that will make life worse for everyone else. Glass is one of them because, you know, accidents happen. Yep. All right, so before we move on to camping, to wrap up travel,
I got a couple of travels.
Yeah, I'm not ready to move on.
Oh, because, wow. Yeah. Guys came loaded to bear. I wanted to make sure that we, if you don't have a reason to leave on Monday or Sunday night, I would almost just take your time leaving too. I would take your time trying to, again, this whole process, it's like if you ever watched the movie Search for Animal Chin, if you're a big skateboarder, the Search for Animal Chin was about the discovery, or it was about the search and not the discovery, right? It was about the path that got you there and not what you actually did. Again, if it starts the moment you put the car in drive, it also doesn't end until you get back into your garage.
Yeah, a lot of fun, I guess, and we haven't done it to the degree that a lot of folks have, but that waiting in line to get in is where a lot of people make new friends. You start really catching the whole vibe.
That's right.
Because it's about, being cool. You know, I mean, for me, waiting in line is like my nightmare, but if you have the right attitude and you're, that's probably where Radiate Positively really started was waiting to get in there. And that's where you that's where the whole Bonnaroo ethos and vibe really gets.
And I also don't think that I know the history of Bonnaroo is covered in terribly bad traffic and awful long lines to get in. And I know they've done something and a few things to make that better. People are still waiting in lines that are hours long. It ain't going to go any faster, right?
Well, it's maybe not, with the early arrival. And that's kind of what I meant earlier when I said it's almost like a new festival. Being it's able true. To start going in on Tuesday could be game changing. I really don't know how many people can do that. And I am very curious to see how it impacts. You know, they started letting everybody in, supposed to be Thursday morning, and then it was 2 a.m., then it was midnight, you know, and then now it's Wednesday they start, mostly because they want to get them out of the Walmart parking lot and into the site. But
So they're not going to open up Cineroo until Thursday at noon still.
Right.
Which means the plazas will be done. Will they still be working on the plazas while people are driving in?
You know, we need to get probably Jeff Cuellar on and have this conversation.
Because if you don't recall, in 2019, when we were driving around the whole campus and there was, you know, it was Wednesday. They weren't done painting.
No, they're still putting their, you know, in years past, they were still putting the heads together. Uh-huh. So I'm curious, and this sort of about the travel and camping. Sort of merges the two. Be prepared if you're coming on Tuesday to basically camp for 2 days before Cineroo opens. That's a whole different thing.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And in that case, you probably do need to bring some food, because we've talked about this a lot, and we can talk about this in camping, but food has always been the like Taco said, the thing that somebody does way too much of, and you end up being.
Oh, I know I did it.
The key is non-perishable. Bring snacks. Bring stuff that's not going to spoil. Stuff you don't have to prepare, like stuff that's just ready to eat. That's really good because you know I wasted meat, you know, eggs. You know, I brought everything and didn't use it at all. Yeah. But like stuff like granola bars, peanuts. You know, stuff you can just open up and snack on. That's really good to have because that don't go bad.
As a man who has a bus that is hard to get up and down a mountain, what other kind of travel tips do you have, Taco?
Oh, yeah. We'll talk about the mountain, but
like
whether you're like us, you drive 45 minutes, or you drive in 12 hours, the key is incognito, because every cop on the way to and from Bonnaroo knows what Bonnaroo is. They know when it is. Mm. They know people are coming down. They're going to be parked at every exit all up and down the highway.
Great point.
So do a check on your car before you drive. Make sure all your lights work, tail lights, turn signals, headlights. Go ahead and check
your tags updated.
Tag light. Make sure your tag's up to date. Make sure your insurance is up to date. And do not decorate your car. Don't put Bonnaroo all over it.
Flying your freak flag. Just
these cops will see you a mile away, and they will find any reason to just pull you over and harass you and search you, because they know you're going to Bonnaroo, and they think, well, this is probably, you know, an easy ticket for me.
Yeah, and that's a tricky one, Russ, because a lot of times people are traveling 4 and 5 to gather, and you know, the back window has got a sleeping bag in it, or so you gotta kind of be sometimes you can't not make it look like that's where you're going, but that's a great point what Russ said. Make sure your lights are working and your blinkers and all of that stuff.
Yeah,
and
because any of that could get you pulled over if they see that, and then where are you headed to? Bonnaroo? Oh, you mind if we search your car? You know, don't say Bonnaroo. Say you're going to a music festival.
We have a guy.
We
have a guy in our camp, and every year we ended up driving together. We would carpool behind him, and his thing was always, if he ever got stopped, it was, oh, no, we're not going to go to Bonnaroo. All this stuff's in here for a fishing trip we're taking. We just need to go across
there you
the
go.
A fishing trip.
Yeah. There you go, fishing trip. That's a good
going
one.
To Nick a Jack.
Yeah. Me and a pretty girl in a big giant floppy hat. We're going fishing.
Okay. Got it. Yeah. And AAA can be your best friend. I have AAA at least once a year. I have to get a tow or, you know, something. Invest in AAA if you don't have, but check with your insurance. Maybe you've got roadside assistance, because you don't want to be stuck on the road out of state with a flat tire, or, you know, car not running and you not having any way to get towed or have it fixed. AAA can be a lifesaver.
I think that the best tip that, I have heard so far is remember that the cops are on every exit.
Absolutely.
So there is a spot, right? Is, you know, the way that we come from Chattanooga is you get to the top of the hill. What's the name of that mountain?
Mont Eagle.
Yeah, you get to the top of Mont Eagle. And as soon as you get to the top of Mont Eagle, the second exit, always a cop sitting there bond every weekend. Never fails. Yes. Never fails.
Also, leaving, it's, again, not as bad, but when you're leaving, your car will be covered in about 4 inches of dust. That is a big signal letting them know where you've been.
Yeah. Hit a car wash.
I mean, I haven't seen them do what you're talking about. I don't doubt that they do, but they certainly are on the lookout. And I know probably surrounding counties know their people are coming too. So.
Absolutely. They're heavy in Dade County and Georgia. I guarantee you anywhere, you know, 75, 24, all those cops know what's going on that weekend and they're ready.
Yeah.
So it's a great point. The surrounding cities are the ones that I would worry about the most. Yeah, Manchester's not going to give you any problems. It's, you know, those complete jerks just along these. There's a town right before you get to Manchester that we drive through. And every year, because we take a back road, as soon as we get off the interstate, there's a back road. And we come to that four-way stop, Barry. You remember that four-way stop?
Yeah.
That's not officially Manchester yet. I don't think it's Cook County even at that point. And but as soon as you get to that four-way stop, you are surrounded. My God,
that's right.
There must be 50 of them.
Yeah, and that next building, they're behind it waiting on you. So
just waiting
we slow down.
Yeah, small town. They got nothing better to do. They know, we can probably pick up one or two people here, write tickets.
So just be careful and don't start partying, especially before
incognito.
Yeah, there you go.
You want to be as unassuming. You want to blend in, look like every other car on the road.
Good tip.
Don't stand out.
Yeah, that's a good point, 77 Westfalia.
Me and my giant green. That's why I take back roads the whole way there.
Whether you're going to Bonnaroo or not, they're going to think you
are. Yeah, oh yeah.
I think you said it. It begins when you get on the road, but it doesn't end there either. So just take your time, plan for the whole week.
You know, I could even go one step further. It's not just when you get in the car. It's when you're packing the car.
Yeah.
Do you know how many fights I've gotten in trying to pack the car?
Oh, yeah. I remember she tried to get, what was it, a hula hoop?
A hula hoop.
Yeah, that was a...
We had to unload the whole damn car. So that she could get a goddamn hula hoop in there. By the way, she never used. Not one time in that weekend.
This was in the front of your house. We hadn't even left yet. And I thought, they're already at it. Over a hula hoop. And you didn't have room for a hula hoop.
No, I couldn't even slide it into the top of the car. That's how packed we were. And she wants to squeeze in a hula hoop. Wear the hula hoop, why don't you? Good luck.
Yeah, speaking of Mont Eagle Mountain and packing, like two years ago, I had Barry, I picked up that generator from you. I had the couch, the full Bonnaroo couch. I had the sign. I had probably 100 pounds of carpet. I was loaded down and in an old, you know, air-cooled bus.
Yeah.
The prospect of climbing Mount Eagle.
We didn't think about that problem, did we?
We didn't anticipate
the weight issue that you would have.
No. Yeah. Especially climbing the mountain. That was a slow, slow climb.
Sorry
but I made
that,
it.
Buddy.
No, it's fine. I mean, the key for me is just momentum. If I can get going fast enough downhill and then hit the going uphill, if I keep that momentum, I'm good. But if there's a big truck in the lane and I have to slow down for them, it's over because I can never achieve that speed again. I can't pick it back up.
Sort of sounds like your sex life. Gotta
get that momentum. Just don't slow down. Just don't stop. Yeah.
As you get into camping, I feel like this is the crux of the entire operation, right? We'll get to experience and shows next, but the camping part is the part that I can't stress enough. You got to get right because you're creating a home for yourself for 4, if not 5 days. And if it's not right, you will be so miserable. You'll get so irritated and you'll just want to quit and go home. And if you're coming from a long way away, there's no option of just going home because you're stuck. I know the one and only year that I camped out in what we affectionately call Gen Pop. When I camped out there, all I remember is that once they got you in, you're not leaving.
You're not leaving.
There's no way you can leave. There's just 10. Now they've got it a lot more organized, and there are paths and ways to drive in and out if you were to, but I don't even think that you can come back in if you leave, right?
Not from there. No. Okay. In fact, you can't leave until your neighbors leave, because in a lot of cases, you start tethering and
drinking. Yeah, you're bumper to bumper. They line you up.
Yeah, you're not going anywhere until the guys around you, you know, go. I would say shade is key. Like I mentioned, my first year, all I had was, I had two sawhorses and a 2-foot by 3-foot piece of plywood that ended up being a table. And I don't think I was clever enough to have brought it on purpose. I think it was just in the back of my truck. And the only shade I had was an umbrella. And we bungee corded it onto that table and rotated it as the sun moved. That was the only shade. I had no tarp, nothing. Didn't think about it, you know. So tarp, some sort of shade, very, very important. The best tip I got, and I still do it, is buy bottled water, which I hate doing because of plastic. But anyway, and freeze it.
Taco, I don't know about you, but I love this idea of thinking about Barry just sitting alone with a parasol.
Twirling. Pretty much.
I think about it all the time. Yeah, just twirling it.
I feel pretty. but yeah, don't buy bagged ice. Buy the case of ice, water, and then freeze it.
Well, okay. I'm going to stop you there. Let's talk about just coolers and ice. First off, I'm going to ask you two questions. Do you suggest investing a lot of money in one of those really, really, really expensive coolers?
Yes, they work.
Which are heavy, very heavy.
They're extremely heavy.
But they'll last you a while. Or B, what is your experience? Do you like it? And what is your experience with dry ice?
I haven't used dry ice. Go ahead.
I think you can be smart about ice and not have to use dry ice. I don't know enough about it to suggest it, but I think you can get away with just regular ice. There's a bunch of cooler tips.
Yeah, there's a bunch of cooler tips. The frozen water thing for me always worked. I always end up by the end of the week with one or two that are still have some ice in it. You know, they start to thaw, but they keep what food that I bring that needs to be kept cool. Plus, I drink the water as I go.
Yeah,
when they thaw, then it's just water.
It's the best, tip. Well, and your food doesn't get soggy.
Well, this is why you probably need several coolers and not just one.
That's what I was getting ready to say. Yeah, if you can get the expensive ones, the smart thing is to put the things that need to stay cool the longest in there and don't open it.
We'll just make that an ice cooler.
Yeah. If you use an ice cooler like we do to make Bloody Marys or whatever, that's a different cooler. But if you can keep the expensive one closed, it will keep things.
Well, the way that we did. So this became an issue very early on in Camp Nut Butter, where I realized very quickly that we needed a tent that was just for a kitchen. Mm-hmm. So we have a kitchen.
We needed it.
We That's needed legit. It. So yes. we have a 14 foot tall just kitchen tent. Now, that also comes with two coolers because we have so many people. Two coolers that are just clean ice. Right. Just clean ice that you can transfer either as a cocktail maker or you can put it into another cooler as you see fit.
Correct.
Now, I would suggest that, but not only do you put those in the kitchen tent, but you have to I think that the smart person would also cover those as well, because the more that you can keep them out of the transferring sunlight, the better, no matter what kind of cooler it is. So some sort of cover for it that's
also
not as a tent.
The festival has done a better job. If you remember early on, Brad, people used to go to get ice and they would pay, I don't even know, $10. It was a lot of money. And you would have to walk way far to get it. And by the time you walked back, half of your bag had already.
I know, but I still think that ice is still expensive. I mean,
it still is, but it's available. It's a little bit more available than in the past. So if you can do dry ice or whatever, or get one of the expensive coolers and make that work
again, but I understand somebody who's coming in a Toyota Tacoma or a Toyota, you know, Tercel. I don't know what the hell, a Camry. it's going to be hard for you to fit three different coolers in your car. Mm-hmm. So
yeah,
just understand that you
freeze
do,
the bottle, you, freeze the bottles.
The bottle freezing is good. I don't like this dry ice idea. I've never been a proponent of it. First off, it's expensive, and you might as well just buy an expensive cooler if you're going to spend as much money on dry ice as you want to. And it, from my, in my experience, it always makes things taste weird. Like if you put dry ice in food, nothing tastes right for me. I don't know what it is. I don't like it. I don't like it. Yeah. I think
you need proper ventilation. You could you could create a bad situation if it's sealed up too tightly.
Yeah. I think I think frozen bottles. Yeah, I think frozen
bottles. Takes up as much room as the bag ice, and like I said, it doesn't get things soggy. Yeah.
And when we say expensive cooler, you don't have to get the name brand Yeti. There's tons of companies that are making coolers just as good, cheaper, still, you know, not $20, but a worthwhile investment because it's a cooler that will last you a lifetime. It's not going to tear up.
Yeah, it really is a good cooler.
They're well made. Yeah,
I'm going to plug a good cooler. I'm going to plug a cooler business that is here in town, here in New Orleans, that actually is a good friend of the radio station, but I love this product so much. It's called Kysek, K-Y-S-E-K. Their cooler is a dream. It's a dream. I want one so bad, but you know, you're right. Spending $250 on a cooler just doesn't seem like a advantageous thing for me to do. But when I want it and when I need it, I always say to myself, I wish I had that damn cooler. I wish I had that cooler.
I love mine, but you're right. Yeah. They are heavy too.
Very heavy.
They're heavy when they're empty.
But that's part of why they last so long.
Right.
You know,
you get what you pay for.
It's also only meant for certain occasions. Like if you take that out on a boat, especially a small pontoon boat, it's going to sink you. It's so heavy. And I'm not putting that. I'm not going to put that thing in Taco's bus because I know it's going to make it even harder for him to get up that mountain. So it's only there for like certain occasions. I don't, you know, am I walking it down to the bayou to have a picnic? No.
No, you're. It's not you don't need it for that. That's a short term.
All right. So my biggest tip that I can give you for camping, and you have to understand it comes from a guy who is a total diva. I really need creature comforts at home. So the secret to Bonnaroo, first and foremost, if I had to give anybody one piece of advice, would be, especially somebody who's neurotic and tied up to every little thing affecting me, weather, a wind, breeze of wind, you know, somebody touching me, all of this stuff just gets so grating to me. I don't like bugs. I don't like being outdoors. I don't like touching. You know, I don't like sweating. So,
can't wait to camp with him again, huh, Russ?
So, Oh, yeah.
I had to create a world where everything just made me feel comfortable. Well, that wasn't enough. I finally figured it out somewhere around year five, year six, that the way to do this is to just let everything go. And it took me a few years to know how to do that. But now I've gotten to the point where I just let everything go and let it come to me when it actually comes to me. So, but before I did that, we started creating these creature comforts at camp that, to me, were game changers in 2005. Everybody called me crazy. Every single person in this group thought I was nuts because
nuts.
they wanted to hard head it and they wanted to be real campers. They wanted to really show their... No. I started bringing 600, 700 square feet of carpeting. There's not a place in that camp that doesn't have some sort of cheap carpeting that we have accumulated over the years. We might have enough to carpet my house. That's how much carpet we have at our disposal. So first off, find not just a cheap rug at Walmart or something. No. I'm saying go to Lowe's
and get
that outdoor, really large swath of it. It's going to cost you a couple $100s, and you got to be willing to give it up when you say goodbye. But if you get six people to pitch in, get a giant piece of carpeting, you stake it down to the ground. It is a game changer. Also,
you could probably go to a carpet outlet and just get whatever they're throwing away. That you don't care what it looks like.
Do not do what Barry did his first year and bring carpet squares. That shit doesn't work. Because you can't keep them together.
I use them to put in front of my tent, a couple of them to wipe my, shoes, whatever, feet.
They work as doormats.
is a doormat.
They're good for doormats.
Yes.
Yeah, I wouldn't try to do
livability.
I wouldn't try to do as big a space as what we have. No.
Right.
That's one of my favorite pictures of Brad is you with a little push broom vacuuming the carpet.
The Bissell.
You know, like Sunday morning. Yeah.
Again.
The Bissell. Yeah.
There is something. Now, the Bissell is not the right answer, but there is chargeable portable vacuum cleaners. I highly recommend bringing a vacuum cleaner because by Friday it will be a disaster because you've got so many people walking through, so much dirt. Bring a vacuum cleaner, get a broom, something to clean it off. I know that sounds nuts. I know that sounds nuts, but do it. And I promise you, keeping camp clean changes your entire mentality. Mm-hmm. The other thing about creature comforts, and another thing that I got beat up by, we bring a couch. We bring a folding IKEA couch, and not just one, we've got two at our disposal. Now, I know this sounds nuts, and I know it sounds stupid, and it's not feasible for most people, but finding a way to make camp more comfortable than those awful Dick's Sporting Goods chairs is is the winner.
I agree.
Yeah, a good chair. Several things. Air mattresses are key. You got to have an air mattress.
Well, I'll get to air mattress here in a second because I've got a tip on the air mattress.
A good chair, a good place. You're going to be in camp a lot more than you might think.
You're going to be in camp more than the festival. I promise you.
Yeah, especially if we're getting there Tuesday. So you're going to want a really good chair.
And you're going to want to if you have a nice, clean camp with good chairs.
Right. Yeah, that's where a lot of the fun happens. If you're with people that you like and even your neighbors. So
that's the other thing. Bring more than you need. Bring more chairs. Bring more comfort than you need. I know you want to be very diligent and cautious about the things that you bring because you have limited space. But when it comes to creature comforts, bring it. I don't care if it's a flamingo. Bring it. I don't care if it is
mailbox.
Picket fence.
We bring a mailbox.
Yeah.
Picket fence.
We bring picket fences. If you bring it, because I promise you, the more that you have fun with camp, the better you're going to better experience you're going to have while you're at camp. Now, when it comes to the air mattress, there are air mattresses that are, of course, better than others. I almost want to say, whatever you do, if you have an air mattress now, sleep on it for a night or two and tell me if it doesn't have a hole in it. We got an air mattress for a gift a couple of years ago, and we slept on it one Bonnaroo, and the damn thing is already flat. It's already flat. We have people that come to town and they sleep on the air mattress, and within 2 hours, they're on the floor. How did that happen? We have no earthly idea.
Yeah.
Whatever you do, sleep on the air mattress a couple of days and see if it holds air, because if it doesn't, you're going to have to spend another couple hundred dollars.
Check your stuff before you leave. Check everything. Take it all out. I mean, I pack all mine in duffel bags, but I usually the night before, two nights, even my tent, I take it out and put it up just to make sure critters haven't gotten to it or dry rot or whatever.
I've known people that have come to camp and they've got their tent and no tent poles.
Tent poles.
Don't let the first time you open up your gear be at Bonnaroo. Open it up, make sure it's all there, put it together, make sure it works before
tacos,
you pack it up.
Tacos, as far as
Taco's talking about me.
Air mattress.
I wasn't,
I have two air mattresses. I just stack them on top of each other.
Yeah, I was going to say the other thing too. Bring another one. Just in case, bring another one.
That way I have two. That way, if one of them goes bad, I have a second, but I also stack them on top of each other, which gets it a little higher off the ground and it's a little more comfortable.
Okay. Another tip for camp and livability. And this is not about making camp fun. This is about general organization. I also hate when camp is dirty. And the thing I loathe the most about what we do is we believe that the best way to make trash is to tie a trash bag around a tent pole. All right, well, that drives me nuts because that means trash is just sitting next to me while I hate that. Figure out a trash situation. I don't care if you bring it. I one time told the team, we're bringing a trash can next year. And they all looked at me like I was crazy. Frankly, a trash can doesn't work because it's too big and bulky to pack, but got to figure out some sort of trash situation that's not just a bag sitting on the ground. I hate that.
And bring bags, they usually are pretty good. The staff, the what do they call it, the green crew? Or
they do, but again, you got to have something.
They'll give you
clean recycling bags.
But it's got to be, there's got to be a better answer than just putting a bag on the ground. All right, that's the first thing. Second thing.
Work on that.
You know those flappable bins? Bring those. You know, those closable plastic bins that you have, or something to keep your clothes and your toiletries organized. I bring a chest of drawers. Now, not everybody needs to do that, but if you did have some sort of way, a stackable way to organize your toiletries, your dirty clothes, your clean clothes, because.
Yeah, look at this.
What do you got? Oh, yes. So you have
a closet.
You have a closet. Yeah, that's what you need. You need something like that to keep everything organized, because I promise you, in the middle of the night when you're rushing and you don't have light, you're going to want to be able to access something pretty quickly.
Headlamps, flashlights, headlamps are a great idea.
Lanterns.
Pardon?
Lanterns. Like outdoor lanterns you can hang up.
Yeah.
Illuminate your campsite.
One of the early things that I got all focused on was sandals, chacos and all that. Those were became all the rage, I guess. Screw that. Wear a good pair of tennis shoes that are comfortable, because you're going to do a lot of walking.
The shoes may be the most important thing in the world.
Absolutely.
Even if you want to make a fashion statement, our buddy Nick wanted to wear white shoes and start at white and see how dirty they got.
Yeah.
You got to buy and spring for the pads in the shoes that are going to help your feet. The arches, the arch support is going to change the way that your back hurts because your back will hurt at some point. those arch supports are going to be.
I wouldn't bring your, what were they, $1,500 Kanye shoes either. I would get a pair of just comfortable shoes that could very well get wet and dirty and muddy.
Just
and
go buy Bonnaroo shoes. Go buy shoes for Bonnaroo.
That's right.
Make sure they're very comfortable, and then don't care if they get dirty, messed up, because at the end of the weekend, you're probably just going to toss them.
And if they survive, good. Good for you. You got a new pair of shoes. But if they don't, toss them.
I totally agree. The one thing that I would not bring for camp, I don't think that we've talked about food. Food is necessary, but it's the type of food. Taco mentioned it. I saw somebody say that they wanted to figure out a better bathroom situation. So their idea was to bring a bucket. And the way that they were going to solve the bucket problem would be kitty litter.
It's been done.
Okay. That's fine if it's been done. But you are 10 feet away from the next campsite. I don't know if that makes me feel the best.
knowing what's going on over there.
There's somebody with a bucket on the other side of that car. Yeah. That the answer for them to fix whatever they're doing is kitty litter.
Look at
the amount of time, the space that you're going to take up bringing cat litter and a bucket.
Yeah.
Terrible.
I'm going to say, because I was just looking at the Bonnaroo website before we started doing this. In the past, we laughed about bringing grills and charcoal and all that. Totally unnecessary. You can now do it. This year, you can do it. And I'm going to guess that's because they think it's going to be September and it's going to be the fall.
Oh, I was going to say because they're going to be there on Tuesday.
And because you're going to be there earlier. There might be more, cooking. Opposite of what you were saying earlier, Taco.
But how do they do that? I thought that they didn't want us having open flames.
You can bring the little green propane tank.
Yeah, you get the little green bottle of propane or a little handful of charcoal. Yeah.
So if you want to,
That makes sense if you're an RVer, or if you're like the one person in group that has a ton of space. How is somebody going to do that? Just driving up from.
Yeah,
Florida,
I got the Bonnaroo skillet. Hell, I might bring the grill and bring the Bonnaroo skillet, cast iron skillet. We might cook breakfast on it more than one.
We had what was it? We had Eggs Benedict that one Sunday morning, bro. I remember that was great.
Yeah, we did. It was one year, and it was friend of the show, Chris Cobb, that made it. And he was doing it because he wanted to get back in our good graces because he had bailed on us the year before and year before that. And guess what? He hasn't been back since.
No, so, he was there last time.
Was he?
Yeah.
I don't believe that.
Yeah. No, Chris, he was there for a little bit. The only person who are like of our eight, you know, people on our banner with the heads wasn't there was Doer. Everybody else. Wow. We had seven people there that year.
All right. Anyway. So any other tips of camping? Anything that you should not bring?
Barry, anything? Are you going to bring up the...
Oh, I got one more. One more thing before you go. The one thing you don't need to bring, and we've talked about this in passing, on the bug spray. You don't need bug spray.
There's no bugs.
There's no bugs.
Yeah, do bring sunscreen and all that, obviously. But yeah, bug spray, you don't need it. We've seen three bugs in 18 years.
You know what I've seen more than bugs?
Skunk.
A skunk. Yes, we saw a skunk run through the campsite because we were the first ones there. There are no bugs. They spray thing so badly. I mean, they cover the thing in they don't want bugs either. That's going to ruin your experience. Yeah, now,
bad experience. Man,
years in the very first year, like that those first 5 years, Barry, though, we were eaten alive. Eaten alive. We decided to camp right next to a open body of sitting water because the guy that we were with thought it was lakefront property. As if we're in some sort of Jimmy Buffett song. No, it was a big mosquito trap. Yeah. And we got destroyed, absolutely destroyed that year. So,
bring some toilet paper, bring, you know,
I'll bring a lot of toilet paper, bring lots of toilet paper.
I think Taco's point, as far as like food, is 100% the grazing type foods, the granolas.
My wife
thinks I'm crazy, but I bring a animal crackers and a jar of peanut butter. I mean, if at the very least, that will get you through. You know, a handful here and there.
Absolutely. Sugar and protein.
I know Taco made fun of this earlier, but my favorite snack is pimento cheese sandwiches. Mm-hmm. Barry's wife's pimento cheese is the best thing that I've ever tasted at camp. And I know that sounds crazy, but you know what? There's a little bit of, I don't really mind foods that's going to lock me up.
That's key. You know your own body. You know
I do.
What you put you
know,
in it.
At you this know point, you what know my happens. Body.
Yeah, we all do. Yeah, but yeah, you know, eat food that you know isn't gonna stop you up or whatever. But
yeah, it always.
We lost you.
We lost you.
People who were so upset.
Huh? Oh yeah, go back. We lost you.
I always love the people who still wake up at camp needing that coffee. They still got to be drinking coffee. Mm-mm. Who?
Yeah, it's too hot for coffee.
Who's drinking coffee?
Right.
First off, because it's hot. Secondly, I know what coffee does to me. It's on a plan. It's on a plan.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's that.
Speaking of sandwiches, whatever sandwich you like, I mean, the best tip I can say is you can make your sandwiches beforehand, lightly toast the bread, and then put it in the Ziploc bag, put it in the cooler. The toasted of the bread will keep it from getting soggy, and then you've got like a nice, dry, lightly toasted sandwich. And I think we lost Brad. Are you there? Oh,
I locked up.
Oh, you got locked up.
Yeah, I didn't hear the last thing you guys said.
I was just talking about toast your sandwiches.
Toast your sandwiches. Yeah. Barry, is there? We've never brought a toaster. We've dabbled with the idea of bringing an air conditioning unit. We've dared bringing a microwave.
That was a funny. I thought that'd be funny to hear. Ding.
Yeah.
Oops.
This is another one. Because you love your fellow campmates, maybe not some egg salad sandwich. Maybe pass on the egg salad.
Yeah.
Bring stuff to share. You're going to want to share with your neighbor.
Make friends with your neighbor.
If there's something that's indigenous to where you live, you know, that bring that, you know, to share with the you know,
like arrowheads or.
I was about to say, am I bringing twigs and berries?
You want me to bring some bayou water?
Like,
I don't know. Poutine, you know, is a northern thing. I'd never heard of it. If you've got something that you can bring that is.
I'm sacrificing this bayou water to you, Barry.
Yeah. You know, bring stuff to share. And
I present you this gator head.
We can't stress enough that it's a marathon and not a race. Don't overindulge.
Not a sprint.
Sprint. Excuse me. I mean, don't hit it hard. Really, maybe Saturday night. But if you do plan on Sunday, just being a, you know, a washout or whatever, maybe wait till Sunday. But man, there's so many people get there on that first day, and it's understandable because you're excited. I mean,
it's going to be tougher this year because none of us have been on the farm in almost 2 years. So you're going to want to just go crazy that first night because you haven't been here in it forever. Restraint. You got to pace yourself.
Barry is sort of like the godfather of our camping setup. Right. And so I can always trust Barry to have all of the knickknacks that keep things together. Like, for instance, Barry's incredible with zip ties. Zip ties are is like a tradable commodity. Give me a thing that you have found over the course of your 17 years, Barry, 16 years, that you find to be invaluable as something that keeps camp together.
Yeah, that's a good one. Zip ties and bungee cords.
Bungee cords.
A good roll of tape, you know, duct tape.
You can never have too many tarps.
Tarps.
I would throw tent stakes in there. You can never have enough tent stakes because invariably somebody's going to need an extra tent stake. And that's a good, like, commodity you can trade for. And then, like, you know, if your neighbors are next to you, you should be like, hey, you mind if we, like, put our, you know, easy up next to yours and then create like an unbroken shade. You're just like creating more shade there.
Yeah.
And then you're kind of becoming friends with your neighbors at the same time. You're making an inviting space.
Plan to share. Cause you're going to want
to share. You know, bring stuff to share, bring stuff, you know, you're not going to need, but you know, somebody else is going to need it. Yeah. And then you might need something to trade for it.
I do love this idea of sharing amongst yourselves and asking your neighbor, for something, giving your neighbor something because you know you're going to ask them for something at some point. But I also fear sharing too much because that neighbor may be the guy that does, I don't know, 3 a.m. karaoke. Well, and because he gave you a zip tie, now all of a sudden he's the karaoke master and he's okay to do that for the rest of the night.
Yeah.
Or you might be the guy. You might be the guy in the Walmart parking lot that asked for a PBR and I said, sure, here you go, man. And he shotguns it, throws it down. Can I get another one? are to enjoy.
Our friend Jim and his son drank all my Busch the last 2 years ago because they don't get it where they are. I couldn't believe it.
Yeah. But
I was happy to share.
But I hope that the Burris family comes back with a loaded cooler.
Yeah,
they emptied us out. They emptied us out.
That was a lot of fun though, but. It's interesting you mentioned the 3 a.m. karaoke guy. Most people are really cool and they're really respectful of their neighbors.
Mm-hmm. They are.
Don't be that guy that thinks your 3 a.m. karaoke is everybody else is enjoying it.
Man,
they're not.
there is never a year where there's not someone in every pod who thinks that they're the next up and coming DJ.
Yeah.
Every pod has an up and coming DJ. Every one of them.
Everybody wants to hear my music.
Yeah, you know, I get it.
Don't be that guy.
I brought my turntables, guys. But guys, please don't do that.
Yeah.
I will say, I told Nick, who is in Midist, the sweet, sweet transition beats that you hear here on the What Podcast.
Yeah.
The guy that is part of that band, I told him to bring his stuff and create some camp vibes. But, you know, that's a lot different than untika, 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 untika at 5:50 in the morning, you know?
Yeah. I don't even think that's not what were they playing? It wasn't even that.
They were doing karaoke, man. And the part that was crazy for us was that the guy was doing karaoke, but every now and then they were obviously busy doing something else. but the songs were still playing. Yeah. So you just hear the backgrounds of Friends in Low Places.
That's what I, yeah, that's
instrumentals of Friends in Low Places. Why?
It wasn't just that they were doing it. It was the playlist sucked too.
Yeah. And then at the end of the day, at some point they fell asleep and it was still playing on a loop. And then
that's right.
You know, Dancing Queen, just the beat mix of Dancing Queen. It was, the worst. Right. Like the worst.
Right.
That's the other thing too. You've got to experience. Look, something's going to drive you nuts. Something's going to make you angry. The level of patience that you have to have with your fellow Bonnaroovian is
radiate positivity.
It's unlike any other festival. I know we talk about a lot of the festivals here, and you know, we're obviously going to go into how this is different than any other festival when we talk about the other festivals, but you don't have to do any of this for the other ones. You know, there's a level of patience that you have to have for Lollapalooza, but you don't have to do any of this work. The reason why Bonnaroo is so important to us and why we love it so much is because this work is what pays off in the amount in the shows that you see.
Absolutely.
All of this work pays off because the guys on stage, they see how much you've worked for it.
Yeah,
and they give you more. That's why Bonnaroo shows are always better.
Yep, absolutely. 100%. Two other things. If you see somebody struggling, help them out.
Yeah, that's a good tip.
Yes, yeah.
And that happens a lot. You will see somebody struggling. Help them out. Mm-hmm. Go get help. Ask them, you know, don't just step over them and walk on by like you might at home somewhere else. And then, God, I forgot the other one.
My final camping tip, and if I've missed any, I apologize, but my final camping tip, and this goes for...
I know what
anyone who is single, anyone who is single at Bonnaroo, don't do it. Just don't do it.
Yeah, bad idea.
Don't have the sex.
I know what it was.
I already did it.
I know you. We won't.
I know what my other tip was.
But hang on. There's a reason why I say that. There's a reason why
I thought it was obvious.
Okay, that's a good point. Next.
No, go ahead.
No, I mean, it is obvious. It is very obvious.
Just don't do it. Yeah. The other thing is orient yourself, because the whole place is going to look completely different at 2 PM than it will at 2 AM. Figure out, they do a good job of marking the camps.
Much
pods.
Better than before. Yes. It has been much a very better, good work in progress.
Even then, especially if you've been partying and hitting it pretty hard. I mean, I had a guy try to get into my tent last year. He obviously didn't know where he was and was confused. Or maybe he did.
That was when Russ had sex. Oh, I got it.
It was funny because it was a pair of shoes outside of my tent. Yeah, you weren't confused at all. But that happens a lot. We, you know, our camp, because we do the mailbox and the picket fence and all that, we have people every year, you know, say, thank you. That's our marker. That's where we know when to turn left or turn right and that sort of thing.
That's right. A landmark. If you can set up something unique at camp, that's a landmark. I mean, you're not only helping yourself, you're helping your neighbors, because they're going to see that and be like, Oh yeah, I turn here or I'm just down here.
And Brad and I have talked about it. It doesn't seem nearly as big a place to us because we've done it and we've been all over it for so many years. But it's a big place, and there are a lot of twists and turns with the camps, and even in Centaroo
that's a good segue into part 3, which is shows and experiences and how to navigate the farm that is Bonnaroo. It's Bonnaroo First Timers Checklist on the What Podcast. Comes to shows and experiences, Barry, rule number one, I love yours, which is acquaint yourself. Figure out the markers. Take a stroll when you get there, just around and notice, you know, where things are, how you get in, how you get out. There's only two real ways to get in from GA. You got the VIP entrance, of course, but you've got two main entry points for GA. The GA line is long, you know, to the check-in, the security check-in is a long line. Bear with it. And then once you get in early enough to just sort of walk the grounds and experience it. And my first, I promise you, this will come back to you in every possible way. Walk in early on Thursday, as early as you can, and just take in how pretty the whole thing is. Mm-hmm. Take in how beautiful the grass is. Take in how pristine the space looks. And then do that Sunday.
Yeah.
And see how far you've come.
Yeah.
Because that Thursday, no matter what you do, if you've been to Bonnaroo 10 times or one time, please experience Thursday, because Thursday is my favorite day of the entire year. It's my Christmas. Because it just feels right. And I've done it before. I don't like feeling that feeling on Friday, because that first day just lets my whole body and energy shift and the feelings all come back. I don't want to do that when I'm rushing to a show on a Friday afternoon.
Right. That's a good point. And we haven't mentioned it yet, and it will be game changing. It's probably the biggest thing they've instituted since the beginning that I can think of, and that's Jamtrak. In the past, that's the transportation, free transportation. In the past, a lot of people, especially in the camps that were way out, it was a 45-minute walk. So if you forgot your wallet or your phone or you just needed to eat lunch, it was a pretty big decision whether you left. So maybe this is going to change some of that. But orient yourself, have fun on that Thursday, relax, take all that in, get the lay of the land, so to speak. And then you can enjoy the rest of the weekend and see the bands you want to see.
It's too much of an explosion to the senses to walk in on Friday and expect you to just like, oh yeah, I'm good. It's too much. If you can do that, more power to you. There's no chance that I could do that.
I agree.
If you find yourself way out there in what, is affectionately known as the back 40, if you're way out there, it's going to be tough. You need to probably start strategizing your day a lot more diligently than you normally would if you were in a pod really close to the entrance. Like Barry said, even though Jamtrak is going to make things a lot easier, you're still going to have to wait for Jamtrak. You're still going to have to pay for Jamtrak. You're still going to have to.
It's free.
Oh, is it free?
Yeah, it's free.
Oh, that's awesome.
It's so game changing.
That is a game changer. You just don't have to wait for it. But all that being said, it's still a haul.
Right.
It's still a. Don't think, and Barry says this so often, don't think that you have to do everything. You're not going to see every show. You're going to have 15 artists on a Friday or a Saturday that you want to see. I promise you, you're not going to see probably half of them.
Yep.
You don't need to, because it brings me to my biggest point about the experience overall. Find the one or two a day that you absolutely don't want to miss, but don't make a schedule. I know it feels like you should because there's so much that you want to go to. Just trust it. Trust the farm. Trust the process. Don't go too crazy trying to make a schedule for your day.
No, I disagree totally.
Wow.
Well, okay. Only in this regard. As soon as the lineup comes out, start making your schedule because it's fun. It's fun to do that.
But what I
would agree with you on is when you get there, you're going to throw that schedule away.
Sure. Yeah, that's what
and
I mean.
That goes back to your point of letting yourself go. And I think that's really the key. Once you get there, your camp is set up, you need to just learn to let Bonnaroo happen and have a great time.
You're gonna find yourself, because of the friends that you make, because of where you are, because you don't want to walk across the entire you're gonna find yourself at a show that you never expected to be at. I mean, you might all of a sudden find yourself at a Megan Thee Stallion show and you really wanted to see John Prine. Those things are going to happen, and don't try and beat yourself up to make all the shows they want. Just go with the whole energy and the flow of things, and have a working idea as to where you want to be most of the day. But the rest of it, just let it come.
Right. And how many times have we in our group, somebody has a, this is my number one all time. Don't miss it. There's no way I'm missing that. And then they do for whatever reason.
Because I'll just hang at camp.
Yep. It's either too hot. I'm having a good time, or the show that I'm at is great, or it's too far to walk, or
we have
all
saying,
kinds of reason.
We have a saying at Camp Nut Butter. So what'd you do today? I just hung out at camp.
Yeah.
Because camp ends up being more fun than the effort that it's going to take at 3 o'clock when the sun is so bad. It's 102 heat index. I really, really, really want to see the shins. You know what? I'll just hang at camp.
Yeah. Can they come to camp?
Yeah. It's a hard thing to swallow, but you know, you just can't get too lost in the weeds worrying about your schedule and seeing all the shows that you want to see.
And we don't even know, Brad, how all of the new things they've created for camping, general camping, all of the experiences.
Yeah, you may not even leave.
You may never leave your camp. We have no idea how that's going to impact things. You and I haven't ever been to is it the tent Christmas? Do they call it a tent?
Snake
Christmas?
And Jake's.
Oh, Snake and Jake's. Yeah.
New Orleans. I've
never
Snake
been.
And
I've never been to the,
I've been
the robe.
Honestly, the robe, you know,
robe rage
thing. You know, you heard the Foo Fighters came out and said that they're doing a disco album.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I don't anticipate them playing any of this DG's, disco album on the farm, but what if they just happen to find themselves at a super jam, or find themselves just happen to be somewhere else playing a couple of things under the DG's name? They do that. You know, they did a only vaccinated show in LA for what, 200 people a couple of weeks last week. I'm not saying they're going to, but it would not be surprising if they did a surprise pop-up show and insert pod here as the DG's.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's what I mean. I don't know how that impacts everything. I could honestly see somebody not leaving their camp or their area, or going into Center Roo.
Yeah. His name's Denson.
didn't AC say they have the data, and they say, like, you know, 13 to 20% of people there just never leave camp. They never go into Center Roo.
I don't remember that, but I believe
it's a significant percent. Yeah. Yeah.
I don't doubt it. Well, we have 10 people in our camp, and one person did never leave his for the entire time. So that's about right.
Yeah. What about the one person that doesn't leave camp at our place? His name's Brian Stone. He does do something that is nice. He oftentimes forgets to do it, but he does do something like, he's got he takes the schedule, he prints it out on a grid, and then he laminates it.
Right.
And then puts it on a ring. And it sort of hangs there on the tent, and he makes like 3 or 4 of these. Brilliant.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
Mm-hmm. That's what I meant.
I tell him a lot. He stumbles out of stupid sometimes. And he did when he came up with the laminated schedule where you can just pass it around to anybody and everybody. I love that. Absolutely love that.
That's what I meant by, you know, when the lineup comes out, do that. Cause it's fun. You
know, the schedule comes out.
Pour over it and make my list, and here's what I'm going to do. And, you know, I've said it before, and Ashley Capps told us he does the same thing. And then, as he said, like all of us, once he gets there, it never happens. He may have the one or two, but it never, you can't do it. So don't try. Have a plan, you know, but go with it, and don't beat yourself up if you miss something.
Yeah.
Because you're going to miss something.
As far as when you get into Center Roo, so if you've never been, the stages can be very confusing. Identify the what, the which, this tent, that tent, and the other stage. And understand why they're called that, where they are in the map, et cetera, so that, you know, when you're actually having a conversation with somebody, you don't get and find yourself in the wrong place. Also, cell signal's very spotty. So if you want to meet somebody, and if you want to make something happen, you better do it at a very specific time and in a very specific space. So find a home base. You're going to be in Center Roo for a while. Find a home base if you have to, because cell signal is going to be difficult. Now, There have been years past where it has been okay, but you know, in the heat of it on Friday and Saturday night when the place is packed and there's 90,000, 100,000 people there, it's a sold out show.
Right.
You're not going to be able to get anything through. So find a home base just in case you, you lose everybody. Worst case scenario, you just go back to camp. I mean, at the end of the day, you just go back to camp, but it's going to be hard to navigate without a cell signal. You don't need walkie talkies. You don't need walkie talkies, but you do need a totem. And I would suggest being very creative in your totem because you could be the totem guy.
And then I love to that thing.
I love, well, I know you are, but I love totem guys. Who doesn't love seeing a really creative, well done totem?
Oh yeah. It's great.
It's the one thing that differentiates Bonnaroo from all these other festivals who do not allow you to bring any of that shit in. I love it.
And we've said this before on the show, but not today, maybe. If you're in a group, and even if you're with, say, a significant other, you're both, and you're going to have a better time if you don't tie yourself to another person. You know what I mean? If Brad wants to go see whatever and I don't, I'm not, neither of you need to get your feelings hurt. You need to be able to
be fluid,
have your own fluid, have your own, your own time. And for the most part, the people we've talked to, see, it seems to work that way, but I could just imagine being, you know, with a significant other or in a group that felt like everybody had to go to the same place. And, you know, well, that doesn't work.
I'll go you one step better. It's not, if this significant other that you're with is not somebody that you are majorly life invested in, don't bring them.
Yeah, no, no. This is not a, this is not a halfway. This is not a dating partial event.
Yeah. This is not a dating activity.
Let me write that down. Wait.
Yeah.
Don't bring them.
This one.
Did Russ try this one year? And how did it work out?
Yeah. Actually, the first year it worked out pretty well. That was the year I did the thing you said not to do.
I know, but you also spent all night waiting for the person to get there, right? And that's then they true. Got
she
there
came in
they got
Thursday.
Very, very late. So you wasted your entire evening waiting on that person. You didn't go to any shows that night. And then when you did get there, you stayed up the whole night.
Yeah.
And so you slept in the next day.
The second day it worked, or the second year it worked out because I said, oh, yeah, give me a call when you get in. I'll come out and help you set up. And then I proceeded to get drunk off my ass, passed out, missed her phone calls, woke up. Oh, yeah.
That's how you
set
do
up.
It.
Cool.
That's how you do it, my man. Yeah. That's how you do it.
Atta baby.
I just, there's just very few times where, unless you are totally invested in the person, that it's going to work out. Maybe I'm a pessimist here. I just don't find it to be the best place to sort of like figure out a dating opportunity. Right. It just too much work, too much work. You're there to do something else.
Well, I mean, I guess the point in all that, and you said it earlier, is this is a commitment. It is a full on commitment. I don't recommend anybody go there who thinks they just might want to try it out and see if they like it kind of thing.
Right. You cannot dip a toe in the Bonnaroo pool.
You're not dipping a toe, and I wouldn't bring somebody with you who's like that.
That's
thinking you're going to, you know.
That's right.
They might like it, but if they don't, then two people are miserable.
If you have somebody even on the fence about it, don't try and convince them.
Yeah, don't. Because then you're both miserable.
Yeah, because then you're just trying to, your whole weekend's going to be about them. The other things about the experiences, bathrooms are a lot better than you think. Showers are a lot better than you think. The bathroom situation is not really a problem anymore. There are very few times where I've had to wait in a tremendously long line to a clean bathroom. I feel like the thing that separates Bonnaroo now is, man, once they figured out the running water situation, it changed everything. Changed everything. Those bathrooms are tremendous. The shower complexes are nice. And I'm going to say this, and I don't mean to come across as anything but genuine here. The shower situation and the bathroom situation in general admission in the regular camp area is better than ours. It's better than backstage. It pains me to say that, but It is so much better than ours. And ours is good. Yeah. It's really nice out there. It's really, really nice.
They put a lot of effort, a lot of work into the general camping area.
I mean, and I'm somebody who is a massive diva when it comes to my bathroom and personal time and my cleanliness.
Yeah.
You have nothing to worry about out there. You have nothing to worry about.
It's a lot of fun. It's a great time. If you love music, I've always described it as a little bit of heaven inside of hell. And the hell part gets better and better every year as the things you're talking about.
Well, I mean, heaven, hell's pretty fun.
it can be that. Yeah, I'm looking forward. I can't wait.
Did we miss anything in the experiences and shows aspect? Anything that we should circle back on in the shows and experience section of Bonnaroo First Time Checklist?
I can't think of any.
Oh, I don't think so. I like this idea. I know it sounds crazy and it doesn't yield a lot of results. We gave everybody a couple years ago a portable camera, a disposable camera. Didn't really work out the way that I wanted. I only got probably 3 or 4 pictures that I really liked. But don't miss those kind of little touches. We had a girl show up. She had a Polaroid, one of those Polaroid cameras, huge and massive to carry around, but around camp, I'm telling you, there's a picture of me and the camp group that's on a tiny little Polaroid that I keep at my desk and I look at every single day of my life. Mm. I love that picture. And it's not something that I would see if it was just on my phone every day.
Yeah.
There are clever little fun ways to make this thing unique for you. Don't pass those up.
There's one of mine.
Yeah.
Yeah, there he is. See? Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. That's exactly what I'm talking about. Yeah.
You're going to find, for the first timers, that it becomes a year-round thing, which is strange to say, but that's why we're doing this podcast. We talk about it, well, because of the podcast, but even before the podcast, we talked about it every week. Mm-hmm. And we're not alone, and that's what you're going to find. You'll find friends that you'll communicate with all the time. It's an unusual experience.
Somebody asked me about pit access, trying to get into the pit. Well, the pit is up until a few years ago, the Witch stage did not have one. Now it does, and there's one on the What stage. There is a place in between the pit and the regular crowd, and that's for what used to be Roll Like a Rockstar, and I don't know if they're doing that anymore. No. So that's one thing. VIPs don't get in there, but the pit access is a European pit, whereas you have to line up all day, and they let in the people who are lined up for specific shows. Like, for instance, if you want to line up for Tame Impala, you know, you'll sit there for 2-3 hours beforehand, in a separate line than the people who wanted to see the Foo Fighters, for instance. Just familiarize yourself with sort of the layout of the place. And if you really find a show that you really want to sit around and wait for pit access, you can do that. You're going to be sitting there for about 2 hours. But there's also opportunities if you want to just walk into the pit. I mean, granted, we get in there a different way, but Brandi Carlile, we just walked in the regular way and just walked in
right up front.
Yeah. Those opportunities happen. Some people don't want to. I like it. That's where I prefer to stand because I think the sound is just perfect. That's the other thing that you nobody talks about enough. The sound at the What stage is the greatest sound system I've ever heard in my life.
Yeah, it's amazing.
I have never been to a show or a festival where the sound is better than the What stage. For years, the Witch stage lagged terribly. It was such a bad audio experience. It's gotten a lot better. It's not the What stage. I don't know what it is, but that What stage is the best sounding stage I've ever heard in my professional life. The tents can be iffy. I'm not the biggest fan of seeing a show at a tent unless I'm in a pretty specific area. And on the big tent shows, if I'm there too late, I'm just walking by.
Yeah, it's tough. Speaking of the walking by, that was something I don't think we mentioned specifically, but kind of Make a point to go see somebody you've never heard of.
Yeah, that's good.
On whatever the teeny tiny stages, whatever, because those guys in a year or two are going to be on the big stage.
That's right. Hey, our friends, Unlikely Candidates, friends of the show, Unlikely Candidates. They're playing on Thursday night.
Yeah, how many acts have you and I seen on those small stages that are now huge, or that we missed?
One is named the Black Keys.
Lizzo, we missed. Nobody saw, right?
Nobody saw.
Everybody had to start somewhere. It sounds trite, but make a point to see acts.
Go see Briston Maroney.
Go see Briston. He's terrific. Yeah. And Brad, you said it earlier kind of quickly. Trust, the guys who book this thing know what they're doing. You may see somebody that you don't care for, and that's fine. At least you tried. But their chances are going to be really good that they're good at what it is they do. May not be your taste.
Another big difference between all the other festivals. I'm not trying to say dog other festivals, but they just don't put as much care and precise technique into the lineup and the schedule like the Bonnaroo guys do.
Yeah. That to me, from the musical point of view, and I've done this a long time, I guess. The discovery part of it is the fun part for me anymore.
Yeah,
the camping, all that is, but musically, if I leave there and I've discovered and have a new favorite or two or three, that's a great festival.
I mean, your crown jewel for your life is Warren Treaty.
Warren Treaty, absolutely. And Bahamas, never heard of either. My Morning Jacket, I didn't know who they were until I saw them. Now, they were bigger. They weren't on a tiny one, but I had not heard of them. Love them. Absolutely love them. So,
all right. Yeah. Well, there you go. That's the best we can do. First timers checklist. I think that a big time MVP award for today is going to Lord Taco. Big day. Great show today, Russ. Very good show today.
Got a lot out of Taco. Yeah. Good job.
This is it. A day where Russ shined. I wish that I had a trophy for you, buddy. I wish I had some sort of.
You hear that, Troy?
Yeah, I was curious to say. We're going to send this one to Troy.
What podcast? Thanks for joining us. That's Barry. That's Lord Taco. I'm Brad. We'll see you next week. Love you.
Consequence Podcast Network.